It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbooks apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The men's tournament is a blast every year, but I'm hyped for the women's tourney too. Got to tap in to see Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and Juju Watkins. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8777-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April 4th, and we've got a bunch of fun stuff to talk to you about today. We're talking college basketball. We're talking NBA MVP race. We're talking about whether or not John is serious about wearing jorts.
We'll get to it.
This is just a teaser.
Sorry, man.
As always, Jenkins and Jones is the official podcast of lollygagging, and we are hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
With Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Mother.
Fucking Mike.
Fucking Mike. Coming to you live.
Coming to you live from Palm Springs. So we're produced, as always, by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
I think Palm Springs might be the place that looks most like what you think. Like, it looks most like the caricature of itself that's put out there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, everywhere you look in Palm Springs, you're like, oh, that looks like Palm Springs as fuck. Right there. Right. I don't know. It's crazy.
Even like the shopping areas, it all makes sense. You know what I mean? It all makes sense.
It's a nice place. Yes. I like it.
Mm. All right. Before we get going, I just have to offer myself up to this. We've been dealing with a fucked up group chat situation for like the last month and a half, as it turns out. And I realized as we were just trying to solve it, the deal was I've not been getting the group chat text on my phone. I've only been getting them on my computer. I went back and realized when it started, and I realized what happened is it's when I blocked the group chat during the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
So you were being a pussy.
That's crazy, dude.
I get it, though. I get it. That was a good reason. That sucked.
It was more of a ceremonial, like, you know what I mean? Like, I blocked a lot of things, but that's the only one that didn't successfully unblock, apparently. And I even checked to make sure that it wasn't blocked. So I have no idea. But anyway, I apologize for the technical.
You know it's been fickle, though. You can't play with the group chat. You know what I mean?
You're right.
It's
you're always right, a little fickle.
You know what I mean? Where I, at times I don't get texts. You know what I mean? So, Jackson, has it happened to you yet?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay.
I like the word. I like the word fickle. I will say I do not that often, but a not insignificant amount of times. I don't do the full block, but I'll just like hit the mute, then turn off notifications. Because sometimes, for everyone, for the listeners, here's a peel behind the curtain. Sometimes it's like 11:30 p.m. and these lovely gentlemen decide to like have a.
What word were you about to say?
500 text message conversation. No, I wasn't going to say that. They have a 500 text message conversation.
I wasn't going to say that.
I'm like, I got to go to bed. I got to like turn my brain off a little bit. And so I just put it on mute. And then I wake up and there's hundreds of text messages that I've missed about like, what is a better shoe to go off on the wrong foot or something insanely like nonsensical. I'm like, you guys spent 3 hours talking about this? They're like, yep, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Of course we did.
Group chat be jumping, boy.
It'll be, man, yeah. Sometimes you just, hey, lean in, bro.
Just go in and here's 70 clips of my son playing baseball.
And he going crazy. They be heaters too. I'll be rewinding him. Like, that shit dropped off a table. Curveball, curveball. Right. Sheesh.
Let's talk about the NCAA Women's Basketball Elite Eight more than living up to the hype, especially, obviously, Iowa LSU. Over 12 million viewers for this game. And I would struggle to remember. The more excited you are for a sporting event, the more of a disappointment it's usually going to be. And this was an unbelievable basketball game from start to finish. What did you guys think? And how bummed were you that LSU... lost the race war in this particular skirmish.
I think we lost the race war in the day, period. I think we just, you know, we have to regroup and figure it out, dog. We took some L's, G, but, you know. Both of them are solid, though. Caitlin cool as fuck. You know what I mean? We fuck with Caitlin, so anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, like I mentioned, I wanted LSU to win, but I told you Caitlin was going to go crazy. Caitlin was going to leave it all out there. You knew that. She was going to empty that motherfucking clip. And she put up, what, 23 pointers? Like, she was going hard, bro. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, you could tell that you know, that was what she had been waiting for. That was the dream matchup she wanted. She wanted to get her revenge, and she got that shit, bro. And like I said, I predicted the 40 ball, and I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying that as, like, a testament to Caitlin. She is a killer. She is cut from that cloth that, like, all the greats hold grudges, bro. You know what I'm saying? And she for sure is a grudge holder. She's cut from that, and I took that personally cloth. You know what I'm saying? Just put on an all-time great performance. And, you know, her and Angel Reese, I think we're going to look back at them and the rivalry that they had as the moment where college hoops really took off, right? Like, they're, you know, like, in the postgame, well, in the pregame, someone, you know, asked Angel Reese, you know, have you heard the comparisons of you and Caitlin being, like, you know, the Magic and Bird of women's college hoops. And I think that's an apt comparison, because I think that, like I said, when we look back at the golden age that college hoops is in right now, where it's, you know, it's the most popular it's ever been. We've got all these all time great talents who are there right now. I think we're going to look back at that rivalry, that Iowa LSU rivalry, as the moment where it all kicked off.
The only thing I wish is that Angel Reese didn't fuck her ankle up. I mean, she could barely jump for, like, more than half of that game. You know, still got 20 rebounds. She gave it everything she had. You feel me? But I don't know if it necessarily would have changed the outcome. Caitlin's just, she's Caitlin, bro. You know what I mean? She shot that 1-3 from damn near half, like, damn near half court. It was like the logo three. You know what I'm saying? And it was like they were already up 8. You know, you can get a easy shot, get the double, you know, digits. She was like, I want to bring the roof off this motherfucker. I want to blow this game completely up. Yes, that was definitely a vengeance game, and she showed the fuck up, man. She's such a hooper. But yeah, I don't want to take anything from Angel Reese either. She was balling like a motherfucker in the first quarter. Grab the game. I wonder, like, how it feels to have that much power when you're playing against Caitlin Clark, a better team in Iowa. Grab the game by your hands and completely reverse the fucking momentum. You know what I'm saying? Then she hurts her ankle, and you know, and then she's, you know, kind of hobbling for the rest of the game. But yeah, G, it was an incredible, incredible experience, man. Got exactly what I was looking for. Except the W.
I think in order for the result to have been different, I think Kim Mulkey would have had to have switched the defensive strategy up a little bit earlier. Like, as great as Angel Reese is, it's like she had Haley Van Lith out there, like, just, I mean,
Caitlin was deep fried. Eyes doubled in size when she saw Haley on D. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, with no help on the screen, too. You know what I mean? Like, it was confusing. I literally had a friend text me, "Do you think Kim Mulkey is like taking one for the sport here? Like women's basketball?" Because it was such a mystifying defensive decision.
Yeah, like to they were going under screen under Caitlin's screens at first. I was like, what? Why? Why are you giving her the three? Like, that was ridiculous.
We were like in the group chat. I was like, who was guarding her last year? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was Flajay, wasn't it? Like, why wouldn't you put the lengthy athletic defender on her and have Haley on her? It just doesn't make any sense. And like halfway through, I'm like, this is not working. And we were talking about how, you know, Haley might have been, you know, on the other side. We're questioning her allegiance. I was thinking the same thing that Mike just said. I was thinking, nah, that might be Kim. You know what I'm saying? She has the record that leans that way. You know, so I don't know, man.
Still hasn't told us where she was on January 6th. I'm just putting it out there.
You feel me? Right? Hey, we got questions, bro. So, hey, brother.
One thing I wanted to talk about, because we, you know, we've talked about obviously we've had a lot of fun joking about the race war stuff and but also correctly talking about like these are the kinds of rivalries and storylines that do capture the country's attention to where you get 12 million people watching an Elite Eight game. But I thought Angel Reese spoke really eloquently about how unpleasant it is to be on the inside of, you know, some of that attention. And obviously people have responded to her very thoughtful comments in a very stupid way, which is pretty predictable. But she just announced right before we started recording, she's going pro. So it's now going to be up to the WNBA to figure out if they can do what the NBA did and capture that attention and bring it up to their professional level. Because you've got a couple of ready-made stars right now in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese who are coming your way. And as we've talked, we don't need to go into it again. We talked about in previous episodes, that rookie pay is like first-year teacher pay in California, bro. I mean, they're going to have to figure out how to modernize their league if they want to bring it forward. Because otherwise, you're Juju Watkins looking at, okay, what's the next 2 years at USC versus the next 2 years in the WNBA, that, you know, you're making the math easier for people to stay in college. But what did you think of Angel Reese's comments and, you know, kind of the way she's carried herself through, you know, the aftermath of that game, I guess.
I mean, I was, you know, it was mixed emotions watching those comments from Angel. Like, you know, there was a part of me that was very impressed that she took that moment to speak on something very real like that. You know what I'm saying? And then there was part of me that, you know, felt terrible for all the shit that she was going through too, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, you know, the shit that she mentioned going through. And you know, for what it's worth, like, Angel Reese, she really only talks shit like on the basketball court, right? Like, she's not someone who's
it's
out
hoops,
here.
It's not personal,
yeah,
you know?
Right?
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. She's not someone who out here is running wild on social media, you know, to talking shit and all that. She just talks shit on the court, and she has been like villainized for that. And of course, and I don't think you can, like, you know, I don't think there's any way to separate race here. I think that, you know, black people, especially, you know, in this case, a black woman who talks shit, she's not going to be. You know, endeared and appreciated by a lot of people, is going to be the complete opposite. Whereas Caitlin's a shit talker too, right? Like, let's not get it fucked up. Caitlin's a huge shit talker, right? Like she bounced South Carolina last year and was talking all that shit. And Angel Reese was hitting her with the shit that Caitlin hit South Carolina with.
Other people with, right?
Right? Yeah. So it's just, you know, like I said, I was really impressed with how she was able to vocalize that and how she, you know, had a very real conversation with us. And like I said, it was a part of me that just hated that she had to go through that too.
I mean, we know what she was going through, man. Like, yeah. We know she was going through that. You know, you can't, the reasons why we love her is the reasons why people hate her. You know what I mean? The reasons why, you know, a lot of black girls look at her and see themselves are reasons why she was getting death threats. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in a world where, a world that hates black people, a world that hates women, being a black woman in that world, I couldn't imagine what she was going through. And it's particularly as a black woman that loves being a black woman. People hold a certain amount of vitriol for them, for the the Angel Reese's of the world. You know what I mean? So, yeah, she spoke to that. And then we have people online talking shit about that. You feel me? I mean, I think, and also I think this too, man. You know, the same type of passion she brings to the game when she's winning and, you know, when she's, you know, playing, that passion goes somewhere. And that sometimes that comes out as crying and emotions after we lose. You feel me? You know, we saw that with Juju. She's just not villainized in the same way Angel is villainized because Juju is out. You know, she hasn't been talking shit in the way Angel has. You know what I mean? But I just think, or just hasn't been as boisterous, you know what I'm saying, as way Angel has. But we've seen, like you said, we saw Caitlyn and Angel, the two at the top of the game. You feel me? And they both have been shit talkers, and one person has been villainized, and we can't ignore, but we all know why. But I'm glad she spoke to it. I hate that she doesn't get, you know, like the people supporting her in the way that she should. After speaking so eloquently to something so difficult, and she's so young dealing with this too. But like death threats, like, come on, man. You know, like, I just can't imagine dealing with that. But, and this is why I can't root against her. You feel me? Like, this is why, because what she stands for, and how she's moved it, you know, in this situation. But yeah, man. I'm glad she spoke to it, but you know, It just makes me extremely sad that somebody of her age, just for being a fucking hooper and doing shit that hoopers do, which is talking shit on the basketball court, how she's been treated. It's insane. It's sick.
For sure. We also got a great game in the University of Southern California and UConn. Juju Watkins, not quite enough to overcome the UConn machine. So we've got the Final Four coming up on Friday. South Carolina, NCSU, and Iowa, UConn. Your guys' thoughts on those games, and are we headed for the inevitable South Carolina defeating all the storylines like we talked about last week?
They shall avenge us.
The South shall rise again. But yeah. yeah.
No, I'm not saying that, bro. But go ahead.
I do that. I do think South Carolina wins it all. Like I said, Juju was my heart pick. I just wanted to see the all-time great freshman have an all-time great run. I knew that, you know, she was going to run into a buzzsaw either with UConn or with, you know, Iowa or LSU. So I didn't believe she was going to pull it off. But, you know, hats off to her. Great fucking season, you know, but you know, UConn just, they were on her ass that game, bro. Like, they, the schemes that they were throwing at her, like, they were, you know, trapping her, like soon as she crossed half court, like, they were like, bro, your teammates are gonna have to beat us, not you. And you know, and there wasn't anything she could really do. Yeah, so yeah, you know, like I said, Juju was my heart pick. South Carolina's been my head pick, and I do think South Carolina's gonna win it all, bro.
Yeah, I think South Carolina's gonna win it all. I feel like I hate saying this. I wouldn't be mad if Caitlin won it all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be mad if she, you know, if she came back and, you know, the way she's played all year, pull it off. I wouldn't be mad at it. You know, I want South Carolina to win, but I wouldn't be mad at that. But yeah, seeing Juju go out, I hated it. I mean, like, as much shit we talk about Gino, he came with a great scheme. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, he made it hard as fuck for her. She still got buckets. But he made it as hard as anybody has made it on her. And let's not take anything from Paige. Paige is a fucking hooper. She stepped the fuck up, went crazy. You feel me? Doing Paige Becker shit. So yeah, and like we talk like the race war. Paige is not. We ain't talking about Paige, brother.
Paige is with us.
Paige is with us, bro. We ain't gotta draft her, bro. She chose her side. You feel me? You know what I mean? So yeah, she a real one. So I'm not. You know, I mean, great basketball that night. Just the game itself won. You know, it was big for women's basketball, but it was just good basketball. Man, I just loved watching it. So. Yeah, hey, Juju, had to go out like that, but you know, I mean, great game either way.
I mean, I'll be rooting super hard for Caitlin Clark against UConn for sure, and I'll enjoy the opportunity to just root super hard for Iowa because they're a really fun team. So that I'm looking forward to that for sure. But I think Gino did what Kim Mulkey didn't do. He successfully said, "I'm not going to let the best player on the floor or their best player at least dictate." The game. Like you said, is she still going to score? She's still going to score, but we're not going to make it easy on her. We're not going to let her decide to do whatever she wants to do. And that, I mean, as a head coach, that has to be job number one when you're playing against a true star. You know what I mean?
If you saw like Kim post game, she was talking about Caitlin like she's unstoppable. So maybe she took it like, hey, Caitlin's unstoppable. Let's try to stop the rest of the team. Well, didn't two other players get 20 points? What the fuck was Kim doing in the days leading up to playing the squad. You know, she didn't give her team, you know, barely gave her team a chance. You feel me? So anyway.
All right. I think I was frozen.
Okay.
All right. The other crazy thing that I just had to touch on briefly, because I like truly could not believe it, was, did you see that the 3-point lines were the wrong, were not the same size, not the same distance in the Portland Elite Eight?
No, yeah, I didn't see that.
That was crazy, bro.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was like it was 9 inches off or some shit like that.
9 inches, yeah, what? Deeper or?
No, shorter.
Oh, wow. So that was like a fucking high school game shot.
It was like not quite at college, intersecting with the top of the key like a high school game, but it was like in between. It was the old women's line, I believe. They changed it a few years ago. And so one side was shorter than the other. And they just agreed to play, which, like, because they swapped, it's quarters. So they're going to have, they're both going to play on the sides eventually. But still, such a bizarre. Like, I can't imagine that happening in an actual important, never mind a regular, any game in college, a big business basketball game. Very important game.
Yeah. Who was in control of that? Like, what? Like, how does that happen?
I guess it's just the arena, like, construction staff, like, whoever builds the courts. I don't know. They were able to fix
it. They grabbed the wrong pieces?
I don't know. And then they fixed it for because there's, the Elite Eight game was in the same location, so they had to fix it between the rounds, and so it was fixed for the last game. But it's something that I don't know. Like, I feel like this wouldn't happen in a men's game, right? Like it's wrong. It's not right that, like, there's not enough care going into the women's game. That if the 3-point line was the wrong distance in the men's Final Four or in an NBA game, like, there would be an uproar about
untenable
situation.
Untenable.
And this one, like, the girls made the most of it. They have to just play, I guess. But, like, it's a very strange situation.
It's visibly different too, John. I just sent you the video. But, like, if you're just sitting in the stands, you could see that one side is a completely different 3-point line than the other side. Like, that's part of what's so crazy about it. It's not like, they measured the rim and it's 9 foot, 11 and a half inches or something. You know what I mean? It's a, like, wait, what the fuck? Like, you know, everyone sitting in the stands is realizing what's happening. So,
attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back. And joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk NBA MVP odds. This has sort of gone the way it's gone the last 2 years. A lot of interesting conversation building right up to Jokic as by far the betting favorite to win NBA MVP for a third time, with Luka as sort of the only person really, you know, favored to still be in the race at all, and SGA kind of a distant third. What do you guys think about this, and are you prepared for the back-to-back-to-back Jokic MVPs?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was looking like this season was going to be Embiid's, you know, for the taking until that injury.
Mm-hmm.
And but Jokic has been phenomenal. Like, you know, we're not an anti-Jokic pod. Like, I don't mind him running it up with the MVPs. He's an all-time great. You know what I'm saying? And the resume should reflect that. So, yeah, I honestly thought that SGA might have had a shot this year. But
me too.
Yeah, I really thought SGA had a shot. But Jokic has just, like, separated himself and just has reminded everyone he's the best basketball player in the world right now.
I mean, I was hoping SGA, you know what I mean, with like averaging 30 a game, that team is maybe a playing team without him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they might get relegated to the G League without him. They got a team, but he is the heart and soul of that squad. You know what I mean? And the fact that he's they're first in the West right now, maybe first, second, maybe, you know what I mean? First, second in the West right now. Like, what he's doing with that squad.
In between recording.
Yeah. We don't know. Yeah. For sure. It's so close. Yeah. But, so. I mean, I was hoping SGA had a real, real shot. But, you know, Jokic is the man, dog. It's his league. He's the best player in the league. I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A humble request from a Lakers fan. Could anyone in the Western Conference ever lose a fucking game? It would be great. The Lakers are 20-10 over the last 30 and are just sitting in the 9 seed because no one will lose a fucking game. They would be the 6 seed in the East at the time we're recording with the record that they have. And they're just still at the 9. Bron's playing unbelievably. His last 2 games, I think he's missed 4 shots and scored 63 points or something. Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, maybe this is what we're headed for. But I would really appreciate it if, like, the Kings just wanted to lose a game ever. That would be great. I'd appreciate it.
Help your boys out, please. Motherfucking Warriors done figured it out again. We thought they might have been done. They ran.
I was about to say,
straight,
as like, someone who's locked into the Warriors games as a professional obligation, the Warriors fans feel the same way. Can, like, someone freaking lose? The Warriors lose two straight, reel off 5 in a row, and make up no ground.
Yeah, it's crazy. I will say this. I don't know that I've ever been more excited for the play-in games. As the seedings currently stand, our play-ins in the East would be 76ers at Heat and Hawks at Bulls. In the West, the play-in games would be the Suns at the Kings and the Warriors at the Lakers.
Jesus Christ.
Whew. You have several of the faces of the league.
Fighting to get to the playoffs. Right. Yeah. Crazy.
It's going to be crazy. But that being said, hopefully everyone else chooses to lose a couple games and maybe the Lakers could end up not being in the 9th seed. That would be fucking great. I'd appreciate it. All right.
That would be smart.
Time for a segment I'm calling Is John Serious? And today's segment is John Serious about wearing jorts all summer or not? Tyler, your thoughts first.
Yes, I think John is very intentional about this jort summer. And I, for one, welcome him. I got a couple pair of jorts, you know, that I break out every blue moon. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, jorts, I feel like jorts have gotten a bad rap, right? Like, I feel like they shouldn't necessarily be a staple of your summer wardrobe. But, you know, a sprinkling of a jort here and there, you know, can do you a little good.
I think it might be a staple, brother. Bro, nigga, like, I'm just like, dog, the baggy look is going to style. I was coming back in style. I'm thinking like, I thought I couldn't fuck with that, right? And I bought some Carhartt, You know what I'm saying? Baggy ass pants. I'm like, this shit's fire, nigga. I'm actually wearing my Jordans that look too beefy with the other shits that I had before. I'm like, yo, I can wear all my shit. You feel me? Like, dog, I'm leaning in. I might not go back when they go back slim. Y'all can, that's why I might fall off, nigga. When niggas go back slim, I ain't going with y'all, niggas. I'm staying here with it. Fuck you mean? But yeah, I showed y'all my Pinterest lookbook, nigga. You know what I mean? It's not the, I ain't looking like, you know what I'm saying? They have me, you know, out here looking like a wrestler with them. I'm not going that far with it. You know what I mean? You know, I'm keeping it somewhat classy as a jort can be. You feel me? But yeah, man, I'm, you know, my little Sambas and Asics and shit, my little boxy shirts, t-shirts and shit. But yeah, I'm fucking with it. And I'm wearing Tim's too. It's going to be a summer of Tim's too with some baggy jeans, baggy pants, nigga. Hell yeah, I'm gonna look like motherfucking DMX around this bitch. You feel me? With a fitted, fuck you, man. For real. You hear me? Hell yeah, nigga, I'm on it.
Shar and I were just talking about how the first time, how like mentally jarring it was the first time I walked onto a high school campus after the tight, small shorts had like fully taken over. And I was like, when we were in high school, if your kneecap was showing, like someone was going to get the back of your neck or something. You know what I mean?
Like bro, hide them knees, brother. You know what I mean? What are you doing? No, but yeah. For real, like I remember when skinny jeans came out. I think I told y'all this story. Like I was in Urban Outfitters trying on a pair of skinny jeans. Two bad decisions. Urban Outfitters trying on skinny jeans. You know what I mean? I don't have the bill for that. You feel me? Either of those situations. Tried them on, and when I pulled them off, because I tried them on, I was like, oh, hell no, this ain't. I tried them on for like half a second. Pulled them off and pulled my drawers with them. I'm sitting there at Urban Outfitters, dick out. The universe was trying to tell me, nigga, never do this again, motherfucker. Are you fucking crazy? You know, guy's a comedian, bro. He was clowning my ass. You feel me? Like, nigga, yeah. This ain't for you, brother. Let the kids do this one. But yeah, so, dog, I'm so glad to stay. I'm staying here with these baggy shits. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you, man. We on that.
I'm glad it's coming back around, bro. I've allowed myself to get the inseam up above the kneecap, but I've never been comfortable with it. And I have to tell you, I've been cheated, bro, because I always had thick Italian meaty ass thighs,
oh,
bro.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Quad City over there, huh?
But brother? I've never been able to flash them around because that's not when we grew up, man. Like, I just don't feel comfortable with it. But these kids now, they play basketball in fucking like five inch inseam.
Mike jealous, nigga. That should have been me. That should have been me.
I'm not jealous because I still look at it and think, Oh, I don't know about that, brother.
During the pandy, I got a little 7-inch seam. I got a little shorter than normal. Yeah. You feel me? I was in the house. It's fucking, but yeah, the 5-inch is crazy. Some be out here with the 3-boy where I'm like, jeez. Bruh. How do you keep your nuts in there? You know, what mathematics is going on to handle that, brother? That's crazy. Jeez.
Doing some calculations. The other part of your George summer, your 90s summer, is we just got the announcement that No Worries has a new album coming out. Thank God, finally. June 7th. Look at it. Look at how happy John is right now.
I'm so happy, bro. Bro, riding in the summer. I got my motherfucking Timbs on. Baggy pants, the sunroof up, you feel me? And fucking No Worries playing it. Oh, I got my jorts on, nigga. I'm reliving my childhood, you feel me? To a degree, that's going to bring me, that's going to feel nostalgic, even though this is a new album, because they make nostalgic music. Like, it's going to feel like a particular time period. Like, we talk about 96 with so much love. It's like one of our favorite years of our childhood. It's going to feel, I feel like I'm going to be 41 this time. But I'm not going to be outside, you know what I mean? You know, but, you know, I'm not going to be outside the same way. You feel me? But yeah, man, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it.
Hell yeah. I mean, shit. Yes, Lord dropped, what, 2016?
Like, yeah, nigga, that was a hell of a year for music, too. Hell of a year for
2016
music.
Was an incredible year. But it's, yeah, like we've had this discussion before. And Yes, Lord, like, that's one of the handful of the best R&B albums of that entire decade to me, bro. Yeah, it's up there with like Blonde and Control and Chasing Summers. It's
sure, on that too. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, definitely looking forward to like Anderson .Paak and Knowledge have something really, really fucking special, right? Like I love Knowledge's sound, like you know the whole stripped down, you know the gritty type shit. Like we were talking vinyl type music. He's a vinyl, you know, music maker. You know what I'm saying? So definitely looking forward to that follow-up to Yes Lord, because like I said, Yes Lord was fucking incredible. If they can capture that lightning in that bottle again, we got something special.
Agreed.
I love it.
Agreed.
Yep. Kosa cosigns all the way around. Okay, last question before we get out of here. Tyler, Mr. Perrier, what will it take for the rapper Drake to respond to the rapper Kendrick Lamar with rap music? What would it take for him to get in a booth and record a song instead of doing, what did you say he was doing at his concerts?
Bro, this motherfucker out here shooting firecrackers at goddamn Zordon Travis Scott. Like, what the fuck is that? We do not care about this shit, nigga. Go rap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whole industry on your motherfucking head and you doing concerts giving speeches like, you know, people are, when they're mad at you, they're really mad at themselves. Nah, this ain't it, dog. Like, Kendrick is not mad at you because he's mad at himself. Kendrick has carved out a very nice life for himself. I think he's pretty satisfied at where he is. That shit don't work, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like we discussed, Drake, you're the biggest rapper in the world. Kendrick is the second biggest rapper in the world. I think he's pretty comfortable and I think he's, you know, pretty proud of his accomplishments. That whole you wish you had my life shit don't fly with Kendrick, because Kendrick does not want that shit. He's a recluse, right? But it's just like, dog, if you really want to, you know, get out here and beat your chest, go rap, motherfucker. But I don't think he's going to rap because, like I said, that Pusha T shit, I think that shit scarred him. I don't think he's ever going to let another rapper bait him into a battle, right? Like, because, you know, Pusha T, you know, do that hook out, motherfucking Drake bit, and fucking Pusha T had that motherfucker in tuck and just obliterated that man. So I think Drake is like permanently scarred now. He knows if rappers are baiting him, they might have a motherfucking whammy behind door number two if he comes back. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think Drake is going to respond unless Kendrick like makes a whole track. And I don't see Kendrick doing that. I think Kendrick is like, you know, you're a move now. And so we're never going to get that battle. We've wanted that battle for like 10 fucking years now. And we're just never going to get it, bro.
He needs therapy, bro. That's what he needs. He needs to get over what happened. Yes, the hoes was laughing at you, but it's okay, my boy. he needed to talk to a therapist. Get past that. You know what I'm saying? He hung the cleats up. He's scarred. What'd you call it?
Pusha
TSD. You know, he's only a recreational rapper now, brother. He doesn't want to sign up for the big leagues anymore. He's scared. But yeah, man, tighten up, G, go rap. You feel me? He still got it, you know. And if you catch an L, like, bro, like, it's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan lost the slam dunk contest. He's still the greatest, bro. You know what I mean? But you got to go through the, you know what I'm saying? You got to go through it to get there. So
he's also doing his shows dressed up like a Need for Speed create a character with like the different like motorcycle armor on or some shit.
Motherfucker looks like a Lego man out there, bro.
He looks like a Lego Fortnite guy.
Pew, 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 pew,
damn finger gun ass.
And Travis Scott, nigga, we don't even understand the words Travis Scott says, nigga. Like, dog, that's the guy you want to come at, bro. Come with somebody with some bars, man. We need that, bro. Come on, man.
I was going to ask you guys if you think this is a reach or not, but you actually touched on what I was going to point out, John, which is like we grew up on sports, music, and part of what was fun about it, being honest, was that like almost like an unchecked masculinity of like, I'm going to prove I'm better than you. I'm going to prove I'm better than you. And we've talked about this with the slam dunk contest. It's not about like, it's so much of it is about liability aversion at this point, about like management of expectations and brands. And
brand
stuff.
Management is nasty, bro.
Yeah, but that's what's taking everything over because the money's so big and because people are feeding their personalities and that. But I think Tyler hit it exactly on the head. Like everyone is looking at what they have to lose. That's it. And that's not fun. I don't give a fuck if you... we want the fun. We want the challenge. We don't want, like you said, if I lose the slam dunk contest, maybe I go down in people's estimation or some shit. Like we want people stepping up and going after it. Like, and to be honest with you, that's what was so fun that's why women's basketball just got 12 million viewers, bro.
Bro, dog shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, when we was watching LSU versus, you know what I'm saying? Versus Caitlin, basically, you know what I'm saying? Versus Iowa, like, I was just like, bro, this is some dog. Like, bro, they would. And also, like, the UConn-USC game, it got scrappy. You know what I'm saying? We were seeing dog shit in the game. That's what we need. You feel me? We need that in rap. We ain't got that. You feel me? That's why I feel like, I think that's where Kendrick's at, bro. He's like, where the dogs at, nigga? Like, where the niggas that like, bro, come at me, please. I need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you beat me, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm better because of it. You feel me? But he has an old school approach to shit. And like niggas is coming with brand managers and you know what I'm saying? And PR and you know,
right.
You know, Drake was winning the internet. That's how I'd win battles. But you can't just, you get this in this battle, you don't got that power, bro. It's my mono a mono. You really got to out rap this man. You know what I'm saying? Like, gee, like I hate seeing people approaching that way, man. You know, like believe in yourself, nigga. You feel me? Like we need Drake to lie to yourself if you need to, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Get out there, bro. And it's not like he ain't talented. The dude is immensely talented. He raps better than his actual music. Like when he just really, really raps. We saw that with the additions on the most recent joint. You feel me? Where like, okay, y'all want raps? Here's raps, nigga. I still got the shit. Well, dog, Kendrick wants to see it. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting there with them. You know, you go, just let him sit there by himself. You gonna be a no show? you go turn around and beat up Travis Scott? You know, like that sucker shit, bro.
Travis ain't do shit that I even care about. Like, I do not want to see Travis Scott in a battle for what?
Right. Nigga punch you in your face. You turn around and punch another nigga. That's whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Go with the man to hit you in your face, bro. Come on, man.
Crazy. But that's where he's like, it took so long to get the Travis Scott, giant Travis Scott head made up for the tour. Like, we have to play that.
Do you know how much paper mache went into this paper mache mask, nigga? You know how much money I spent on glue and paper and water, nigga? To make this shit happen, nigga? How much effort I put into designing this big motherfucker, dog? Let me handle this and I'll get back to you, Kendrick. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Come on, man.
All right. That's all the time we got. We'll be back on Saturday with a very special interview episode with our good friend Hanif Abdurraqib, whose new book that I am almost done with. There's always this year. Everyone should be picking up, but we're going to have a great conversation with him. We cannot wait for that. I know that's gonna be a special one. I've been looking forward to that for like a month. All right. That's all the time we got today. We'll see y'all on Saturday. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.